If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of James, chapter number 1. The book of James is a small book, only has a few chapters, has only 5 chapters, has a few verses, but my, they are packed with much practical teaching and things that we can obtain in our lives that would help us. The book of Proverbs in the Old Testament and the book of James in the New Testament are two books that we should read continually because it just gives us practical Christian living. How that we as a believer should live in this world among unbelievers. How that the religious people can, that are our right kind of religion, can live among those that are not right in their life. And how that we do not have to be a problem to them, but yet tell them truth and give them understanding of what is right. So if you would this morning read with me in James chapter number 1 and verse number 19. And we'll read down through verse 27, which is the remaining part of the of chapter 1. Verse number 19, James chapter 1. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness with superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In these verses here this morning, verses 19 through 27, we have a good passage concerning just everyday walk of life. How that we are to act among other people, how that we are to interact with folks around us, and how that we're to conduct ourselves that be proper and right for a child of God. We find many times a person that claims to be a Christian, so many times their actions do not fulfill their words or what they say they are. There are two types of religion that's mentioned here in these verses. And there's only two types of religion in the world today. There are folks that will come to ask you and they'll say, what religion are you? And of course, they're meaning what church do you go to or what faith are you and what do you have as your foundation or your doctrine. But the Bible talks about religion as being vain religion or being pure religion. Pure religion is that which we are to strive for in our life that comes by an outward action that's within us to show to the world. And so these two religions are very contrasted in their way. Pure religion and pointless religion, or we have worthy religion or worthless religion. We have victorious religion or we have vain religion. And so we will have to come to the conclusion, what religion are we? We will have to, when we read the Scriptures and we examine ourselves in these basic elements that He gives us here, we will have to examine, is our religion pure or is our religion vain or empty? And so this morning, we will begin in verse number 19 and we go down through verse 27 and we'll examine these things to find out what religious or what kind of religion we really have. I'm not talking about being Baptist or some other name that we put on ourselves, but I'm talking about the religion that God gives us here that is either pure or is vain. So I want us to notice some characteristics of pure religion. I think instead of examining false religion or examining vain religion, we might ought to examine the pure religion and find out if we fall under that. If we do not, then we know we're in the vain part. And of course, I hope we would desire in our life as a Christian to have that that religious experience that would bring things out to those around us. You see, religion is what the world looks at when it looks at us. It doesn't necessarily look at our strictness of doctrine or our thoughts of what is right and wrong. But when the world as a whole looks at somebody that says they are a believer, they look at us all together, and we're all classified one of two ways. And so this morning I want us to look at this one that I believe would be classified as a religious person that is pure in their character, pure in their way, pure in their life, and try to be serving the Lord. Now, I realize there's a lot of stumbling blocks. There's a lot of problems in our world. There's a lot of personal difficulties that come within us. There's a lot of strife that comes to us that would harm us and discourage us from the right kind of being a right kind of religious person. But I believe when we look into the Scriptures, we will have to understand and we'll have to know that we must desire the righteousness of God. We find there in verse number 20, says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." And so we ought to desire to be righteous, not self-righteous, not self-serving, but the righteousness of God that is within us because we have been born again, because one day we met the Savior, one day He came and He did a work in our heart and He made us a new creature. Salvation is not writing our name on a card. Salvation is not putting our name on a church roll. Salvation is an action that the Holy Spirit of God leads us to believing the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saves us from our sins, therefore making us righteous in the sight of God. But I believe we need to be righteous in the sight of men also. I believe our actions and our deeds, James says here that if our works and things do not tally up to what we say, if we're just hearers of the Word and not doers of the Word, then the world will look upon us and they will make mockery of what we say is real. Now in verse 19 through 21, I believe one of the characteristics of a person that has experienced true salvation, therefore his religion is pure, is that he is a listener that is compliant to what God says. That a person, when he is saved, the Holy Spirit lives in our heart, and therefore He makes us to want our desire to comply to the Word of God. He wants us and desires for us that we would follow the direction that He gives us concerning the wrath that comes within us. And by the way, all of us have wrath. All of us have anger. All of us have those things that we must deal with. We all have the weights. We all have those things that bog us down. And James addresses those things here in these verses. He said, "Beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And so we are to be a listener that is compliant or believing or accepting the things that God has presented to us. And we should not. I've met some folks that say they're Christians, and I believe they just are determined that they're going to be mad about everything that happens. They just have that countenance about them. And when James says here that we ought to be swift to hear, slow to wrath, slow to speak, and to observe what goes on. Now, I'd have to say that I've had my days when that doesn't work real well. I'm sure all of us have those days that we hear and then we speak real quick and our wrath comes up real fast, but that still, it doesn't make it right. We need to be quick to hear, but then to consider what is before us and weigh the things out. And wrath doesn't, really, a person that is right with God should never get mad at the Word of God. Should never get mad at the Scriptures of where He corrects us or where He leads us in different paths and how that He should help us. We need to listen carefully but not defensively. We need to listen right and need to understand that wrath will come upon us. And here we find that sometimes when it does, it certainly is not what brings about and it does not work the righteousness of God in us that others might see Christ living. There's all of us that have the weights and the filthiness that is there, and the Scripture talks about it. Here in verse number 21 says, "Lay apart all filthiness the worldliness, the activities of the world, the thoughts of the world, the ways of the world. We're so bombarded continually. You cannot turn on the radio. You cannot turn on the television. You cannot turn on anything that is electronic that gives to you messages that we are not bombarded continually with the filth of this world. And we need to be careful and not let that bog us down. And the Bible says here that that we need to lay apart all filthiness and the superfluity or the abundance of ungodliness and naughtiness and wickedness. And we're to receive with meekness the engrafted word of the Word of God. We're to understand that He has presented to us the truth, and therefore we're to lay aside the ungodliness and the wickedness and to have willingness to receive God's Word in the meekness of our heart, being thankful that God has permitted us to have the Word of God preached or the Word of God read or just in our possession. We are so blessed this morning to have multiple copies of God's Word. I dare you, I challenge you to go home and count how many Bibles lay around our homes. How many Bibles we have just are there because someone gave us one as a gift, or we had it when I was a child, or this was my mother's or my grandmother's. We have multiple copies of the Word of God. And we need to receive that Word with meekness, understanding that most of the people in the world this morning do not have that opportunity. Many of them have never seen a copy of God's Word. I read a missionary letter not too long ago, and he said there were folks that had just pages of the Word of God, and they treasured them dearly, and they treasured them because they didn't have the complete Bible, but they had little sections of it and little portions of it. And from time to time, they would trade out so that different people of their families that would have different scriptures to read and to share together the Word of the Lord. We are blessed this morning that we have the Word of God. We are blessed this morning that we can go down here to a dollar store and pay a dollar for the book. It might not be bound as well as some others, but the words are just as real. We don't have to pay $100, $200 for Bibles that we can. I mean, they're out there for sale, whatever you want to buy, whatever binding you want, whatever thing that you want in that Bible, you can find it. But it's not necessarily the binding, it's not necessarily the cover, but it's the Word that is within. And we have been blessed this morning, and we are to receive that engrafted Word with meekness and with joy and understanding that God has honored us to have us to have His Word. We need to be a listener that would comply to His Word, that we would follow His direction, have the willingness to receive it with meekness. The Word of God is our final authority. It is that message that is able, the Scripture says here, that is able to save your souls. Verse 21, the last few words. Receive, this is talking about the Word of God. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. There's nothing else that's ever been given. There's nothing else that's able to do what the Word of God can do. Now, books that you buy and novels that you read can give you some enjoyment and give you pleasure. There are history books that will give us knowledge. There are different books that will give us understanding. But the Word of God gives us life. The Word of God saves our soul and makes us a new creature in the Lord and makes us no longer going to heaven, but we now have received the Word of God and we're on our way to heaven because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be a listener that will comply to God's Word because He has so blessed us that we have multiple copies of God's Word. I wouldn't want to really know how many copies I have of the Scriptures. If I look at a Bible and I like the way it's laid out, I'll just get it because I like it. I've given some away, I've got some, and I just enjoy Bibles. I enjoy looking at the different styles and the ways of different times, how they were printed and the things that we have. But for us to understand that there are multitudes of people out there that never have even seen God's Word. And the reason we're in the house of God this morning, the reason we're going to heaven, the reason we have life, the reason we have joy, the reason that we'll observe the ordinance of baptism in a few moments is because of the Word of God, is because of the engrafted Word that has come into our heart and sprung up in our life. and has made us a new creature in Jesus Christ, made us a believer. We should certainly be a listener that would comply to His Word. If we want pure religion, if we want to be a pure religionist, we will comply, we will follow God's Word. Verse number 22 through 25, you have another characteristic of a person that has pure religion. And here we will find a committed laborer. A person that will labor committed unto the Lord. We're living in a society that there's not much commitment anymore. People will tell you one thing and never do it. They'll promise you time and time again, and they'll never deliver upon that promise. But as a believer this morning, if we want to have pure religion as our life and our heart, we need to have a desire that we will be committed to what we say and what we believe the Word of God teaches us. Notice verse 22. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He's just sort of enjoying what he sees. When you go off, when you walk away from that mirror, the Scripture says here we forget. We need to have a response to the Word of God. Be ye doers of the Word. To respond to what God tells us. To respond to the reading and to respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit that lives in our heart. And by the way, this morning, if you are a believer, if you have this joy of the Lord and our salvation in our soul, then we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us, and He will teach us and He will help us to be doers of the Word. That means to put action and to put feet to our words and to do what we say and not just to say it only. We are to respond to the Word. We are to remember the Word. He's like a man that's a forgetful person. When he looks in the mirror, he walks away and he forgets. And if we're not careful, we'll forget what God said. But to have pure religion, we will remember the work of God and the Word of God. And we will continue to comply to the Word of the Lord and to follow the message that He gives us. And the Bible says here, this man will be blessed in verse 25. The doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. There's the reward of the Word. So we have the response, we have the remembrance, and now the reward of God's Word. To know that God will give us blessings because we are obedient to the Word and the work of the Lord. You see, the Lord has saved us, but now He wants to bless us. Salvation is not just being born again and that's all we do. That brings us into the right relationship with God. But now what we do in our labor committed to Christ is what gets us in the right relationship with those around us. You see, the Lord left us here for a purpose, and that purpose is that we be a reflection of Jesus Christ, that everybody around us would know that we're saved. Too many times we try to put a shadow upon it. Too many times we try to put a bushel upon it. The New Testament, the Gospel said, no man has a light and then takes it to a hill and puts a bushel on it. No, he goes on that hill so that his light might shine. And here the Lord, through James, tells us that we are to have our Word to shine, to go forth and to be told. And in doing that, we shall be blessed and we'll be honored and we'll be rewarded because of our compliance to His Word. Characteristics, pure religion. Is our religion vain? It's vain if we're just hearers. It's vain if we let all the things of the world and the trash of the world come upon us and bog us down. It's vain then. But if we will, if we'll lay aside that filthiness, if we'll lay aside those weights, if we'll respond to the Word, then He will reward us. And verse number 26 tells us here that a person that has pure religion needs to have some control about their language. Oh, we won't say too much here. It'll get quiet here, but we need to learn to control our language. Well, I'm going to speak my piece. Well, you go ahead. And you may have to write volumes of saying I'm sorry. Here the Scripture says, if any man among you seem to be what? Religious. Now, James comes down to the subject matter. If there's any man among you, Now, the issue here is not a world issue. It is a local issue. If any man or any person among you, we can bring it down to a church issue, or you can bring it down to a family issue. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he says, this man's religion is vain. Well, I'm going to say what I believe. It doesn't matter. I've been there, done that, and been sorry for it. How many guilty of that? Don't raise your hand. We all are. But this person, if we live in that realm of religion, if we continually do that, then we find out that our religion doesn't mean a whole lot to those around us. It means it doesn't affect my neighbor. It means it doesn't make an impression upon my family. It means that I'm really saying one thing but doing something else. It used to be called a whole lot. We used to use the term hypocrisy. I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to church because of all the hypocrites. The problem was so many times they were telling the truth to our shame. I told one time, it said, I said, well, why don't you come on down and join us all? We'll just you'll fit right in. That didn't go over well. I did not learn to hold my tongue. But we find that the Scripture tells us that if a person is religious, and if he does not control his language or his speech or his words, then he's going to be thought of as vain. He's going to be thought of as empty. He's going to be thought of as hypocrite. Look, the devil didn't want me to say that. Hypocrisy. We find that if a person doesn't have some self-control, you see, I can be controlled by laws. I can be controlled by authority. And I do it because I have to do it. And if I don't do what the law says, if I don't do what the authority says, then I suffer the consequences of that. And that's falling under the realm of authority. But there's a greater authority that I have, and His name is God. And I am supposed to have some self-discipline. And there's where all of us need to go to school. There's where all of us need to have some teaching and training in self-discipline. Sometimes it doesn't do good to say what I think. Oh, it may make me feel good for a moment, but it doesn't do good. And those around, when they hear that, and more than sometimes our words is our attitude, when they see our attitude, people look at them and say, that person or me or you, whoever it might be, and they'll look at us and say, well, that man's religion doesn't do much for him. That's why I said James is a good book to read every year a couple of times, because he deals with practical, everyday Christian living. And if we're going to have pure religion, we must be a listener that will comply to the Word of God. We must be a laborer that's committed to Him, and we must have our language controlled so that people around us will know that our religion is not vain, but it's real. It's not always best to have you say. It's not always best to do what you want to do and say. And so here, if any man among you will say this is a church issue, it's not good always to say everything that we think. There must be a control issue with us. We bridle our tongue. The bridle of a horse controls that horse. It has the bits within that bridle, and you turn them, pull them one way or the other, and the horse will turn right or left or stop or go. And James says that the tongue is a small instrument of our body, but he goes on and says when it's uncontrolled, it's set on fire from hell. That's pretty strong words about our language. When it's uncontrolled, when it's not bridled, when we don't let the Word of God help us, what good is religion if we have no restraints? What good is it? Bridles don't choke a horse, bridles channel a horse. Bridles are a picture of constraint, of potential power that is makes it under control. And I'll tell you what, this morning, we have a great potential power within us. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we do not learn to control our language, control our tongues, control our attitudes, our thoughts, our minds, our ways, then our religion is vain. It'll bring about confusion, because the Bible says here in these verses that this man deceiveth his own heart. Confusion. The character here is given to us that his heart and his mind and his ways are so confused that everything is deceived because of one little thing. James says, what kind of religion do you want? What kind of religion do you want to ascribe to? Is it pure religion? Then, if it be, then have controlled language. The fourth thing is found in verse number 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. There's the first thing, compassionate love. To have compassion toward those. And you notice when it is. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's right at the very top. And I'll underline those first three words there, in their affliction. That's when we show our religion is pure or not pure. That's where we show if it's real or unreal. The Scripture says here, pure religion, undefiled before God, is this: that we visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That we have compassion, our testimony, our timing, all those things have to do with a pure religion that's undefiled before God the Father. That we are standing true before Him, but we're also standing true before the world. That we do care about people, that we do have compassion for folks. I think one of the great attributes of any church is a compassionate heart. To have compassion toward others. I believe one of the great attributes of any Christian is that they have compassion one to another. We don't find ourselves over in a little corner and thanking God for my four no more, but we are concerned about others. If we did not have that, then we would be really... our religion is vain. I said a while ago, what good is religion if it has no restraints? Well, what good is religion if it has no giving? What good is religion if it has nothing that will present itself to a community or to a world or to a state or to a family or to a people that we do care, and there is some things that we can do. We can't do everything, but we can do something. We can help. We can try to limit their burden and help them with the load that is there. And all that is because we believe God and that we are trying to demonstrate pure religion. To listen, to labor, to have right language, and to have compassionate love. And then the last is found in the last part of verse 27. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. A consecrated life. Here are five things that James tells us that will distinguish the difference between man's religion that is vain and God's religion that is pure. The old song says, give me that old time religion. Now that songwriter, he said, it's good enough for my mother and my father and my grandmother and my grandfather. It's good enough for me. The songwriter had it right. Those of the past that have lived for God, we ought to emulate them. We ought to see their life and try to live correct and right. But we're living in a generation that if it's old, then it's no good. If it's history, then we don't need it. But here the Scripture says that we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That is the same that's talking about up here in these verses, in verse number 21, that talks about laying apart all filthiness. Keep ourselves from the world, unspotted. It says that this person would keep himself or herself. That's a personal aspect of pure religion. Now, Grace Baptist Church cannot make you pure in the eyes of God or anybody else. Grace Baptist Church is where we come together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and try to proclaim the truths of God's Word. But being a member or being a person that's identified with Grace Baptist does not make us pure. The only thing that makes us pure is what we do in our heart and our life to serve God. I'm talking about pure in the eyes of others. So many times we use words loosely and pure. Well, I'm not talking about spotless. I'm not talking about sinless. I'm talking about right with God. We must keep ourselves unspotted. That's a personal aspect. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We have to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's the purity aspect, unspotted. This whole world out there will spot us. It'll put harm upon us. It'll put a blemish upon us. It'll put problems upon us. It'll put burdens upon us. But a consecrated life for the Lord Jesus Christ that wants to have the right kind, have pure religion, is a person that does all they can do in their personal life to stay unspotted from the world. And even at best, we still get spotted. Doing all that we can, the world is still there. The world is still strong and the attraction is still there. So we are to keep ourselves unspotted. That's personal. That's purity. And from the world, that's the pressure. The world puts upon us a lot of pressure. If you don't think so, then you start talking out here on the streets. You start talking about the Lord. You start talking about living right. You start being an example to others, and you'll find there's pressure that comes from the world. It'll come from your family, first and foremost, probably. I don't know how many people I've heard when an individual gets saved, the family is the first one that discourages them. All of a sudden, the righteousness of that person puts a light on their unrighteousness, and they don't like it. And so the pressure comes from our family. The pressure will come from our friends. The pressure will come from the outward part of the world. May God help us never have pressure from our church family. So if we want to have a pure religion, if we want to have the right kind that James talks about here, then we need to listen and comply to God's Word. We need to be committed and labor for the Lord. We need to control our speech, our language. We need to have a love that is compassionate to others around us. And we need to have a life that's consecrated, not spotted by the world. If any man think himself to be religious, and all of us have that tendency, and now he says, here's what you need to do. It's either pure or it's vain. I like the way the Lord puts things, just it's either or. A person's either going to heaven or they're going to hell. There's no in-between ground. A person's either saved or lost. He's not almost saved. He's not a little bit lost. He's either lost or saved. Nothing in between. Our religion either is pure or it's vain. No in-between ground. What kind of religious person are we? Now, religion, as I have said so many times, is what we do outwardly. Salvation is what God did inwardly. I mean, He worked on my heart inside. And He's cleaned us up on the outside. Salvation is what God does for us. Religion is what we express to others around us. And it'll either be pure or it'll be vain. What's your religion? What's my religion? I'm afraid sometimes it's been vain. I'm afraid there's many times it's been vain, empty, void. But when we see those areas of weakness and see those places where we are faltering, that's when we need to say, God, I need your help here. When we are made aware, here's a weakness. Here's something you need to deal with. And the Holy Spirit, through His Word, will prick our hearts on those areas. And then we will either have to comply, or we will just go on and look in that mirror and go off and forget about it. But when He brings us to the face to face with our weaknesses and our sins, the first thing to have pure religion is to be a hearer of the Word. And then when we hear, we do something about it. May God help us to deal continually in our life in the personal way of having pure religion, that the world around us would see none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's stand together this morning. I ask you the question this morning that I've been asked many times, and I'm sure you have. What's your religion? What is your religion? What is my religion? I pray God would help us to comply with His Word, that we would make it pure. Not empty, not vain, not worthless, but pure. My Father, I pray you take your Word this morning, apply it to all of our hearts. And then, Lord, may we be not only hearers, but doers of your word. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What number, Brother Larry?
370.
Page number 370 this morning. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Every hour. There's not a moment goes by that we don't need God. And there's not a moment goes by that we don't have the Lord helping us. For if He was to withdraw His hand of mercy and His hand of grace from us, then we would certainly see a devastated life. But thank God we need Him and He's there. Let's sing together 370 this morning.